It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 38, and we're going to begin reading with verse 15. Genesis chapter 38, verse 15. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, you can write to us. Our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I hope that was enough time for you to find your place in God's Word, Genesis chapter 38. We're going to begin reading with the 15th verse. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way, and said, Go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, What wilt thou give me, that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, Wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? And he said, What pledge shall I give thee? She said, Thy signet and thy bracelets, thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it her, and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away, and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. Then he came to the men of that place, saying, Where is that the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, There was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, Let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I send this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after, that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, Bring her forth, and let her be burnt. And when she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, By the man whose these are, am I with child. And she said, Discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet and the bracelet and bracelets and staff. Judah acknowledged them and said, She hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah, my son, and he knew her again no more. It came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand. And the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, This came out first. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out, and she said, How wast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. And afterwards came out his brother, that he that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zara. Now let's begin with prayer after reading to the end of the chapter. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this opportunity and this time. Please that you will guide and lead us and excite our hearts over your precious word, that we may look to your power and your strength, that we may see you working in our lives, know that you're working in our lives as you are changing us and making us more like you. And please, Lord, never allow us to forget the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus, as he has shed it for our sins that we may be free. The importance and the power of the precious blood. And Father, we need to always remember that we can come by grace. It's a free gift that you've handed to us. And please don't let anyone turn away from it or reject that opportunity, but they'll come and become a child of God and become a servant of the living God. Please, that that come today with all that are listening, that we may know you and begin to grow in you today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these verses of Scripture and these activities are going on, I think that if you were with us last time, you'll remember that the 38th chapter, we've kind of left the other sons of Israel, of Jacob. We have gotten into just one son here, talking about one son. That son is Judah. And as we look at Judah, we know, and as we look at these two sons that have just been born now, these two boys, we're going to go into Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 16 in a little while and look at the connection there. We know, if you have studied your word at all, that the Lord Jesus Christ comes through the line of Judah, and so we have a great line to go, and yet we find that Judah here is so wicked. And, you know, we find that the sinful man is just a natural man, and that's old Judah here. He is, again, one of the 12 sons of Israel, and we have, as we look through here, why he went out, if you'll remember right, and he run into a certain Adullamite, and when we found this man away from his own people, and he looked at him and visited with him, and his name was Hiram, and Hira. And Hira then introduced someone, and that was Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. So we find now that we kind of flash back just a few minutes and remember what Israel, Jacob had been through as he dealt with Laban and come back with two wives and two handmaidens as they worked it out. And many years of his life he spent away from the land. We find now that some of these boys of his sons, are beginning to imitate what he has done. They're doing the same thing. Well, we find that this Judah finds a good friend to him, not necessarily in God's eyes, but to Judah, and his name was Hira, and he was an Adullamite. And then whether that came with the introduction to Shua, we're not real sure. But however it took place, why he immediately took her, liked her looks, took her in, and she conceived. And she gave him three sons. And those three sons was Hir, and then Onan, and Shelah. Those three sons, as we have read through those verses of Scripture the last time we were together. Well, we find out that was so wicked that the Lord slew him, according to the 7th verse. And then Onan, because as Judah had given a wife to and did not have any children, then the next son down would take that same wife and then take her to be his bride. And as they would come, and the name is Tamar, her name is Tamar. And so as Tamar then was given to Onan, Onan just made a mockery of it and would have nothing to do with it. Well, and the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. And that's in the 10th verse. So already Judah, in his way, and the years have passed enough. We're not sure how old that the boys are here when he gives them their first bride, but we do believe that Judah was probably just 15, 16 years old when he decided to come and gain a wife and begin his family. And so he lacks wisdom. He had some examples from his father, maybe examples from his other brothers. They're all wicked, all except for Joseph and Benjamin. And so we find that as this wickedness, it just continues to spill out. And so Judah gets his bride, and they have three children. The first two boys are put to death by the Lord. And then we come down here to the 11th verse. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, the one that had married Ur first, and then went to Onan, but Onan had nothing to do with her, and so he was put to death. So here's this Tamar. And he says to her, "Remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, lest preadventure he die also." Remember, a comment that we kind of made very quickly was that it's possible that he thought that it was Tamar's problem. And anyone that went into Tamar died. And so what are we going to do here? I want to protect my only son. I've got one son left, and that's Shelah, and I better protect him. And so I'm not going to allow Tamar to have, even though that's the custom and that's what was expected to be done, I'm not going to allow this to happen. And so he told Tamar to go in and just wait and play the part of a widow until Shelah is old enough, and then you can have him. Well, I'm not sure he ever really intended to give her Shelah. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And so we find now Judah's wife is dead. Judah was comforted and went up unto the sheep shearers in Timnath, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. And it was told to Tamar, saying, "Behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep." And she put her widow's garment off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. She couldn't understand. Here's Tamar. She just keeps getting older and older and older. But Judah did not give, as he had promised, Shelah to her. And so Tamar just decides to do her own thing. Well, here she is playing the role of a harlot. Here comes Judah. Judah was mourning the death of his wife, and he thought her to be a harlot because she had covered her face. He turned unto her, by the way, and said, "Go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee." For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, "What wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me?" And he said, "I will send thee a kid from the flock." And she said, "Wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it?" And he said, "What pledge shall I give thee?" And she says, "Well, the signet, the bracelet, the staff that's in thine hand." He gave it to her. And she came in unto him, and she conceived by him. So let's back up now, because from the 15th verse on is what we have just read for the day. And so as we look at this, what deception went on with Tamar in trying to trick Judah. For what reason did Tamar say, "You know, I'll fool him, I will produce a child"? She do it because of spite, because she did not give Shelah unto him like he had promised? And she says, I'll take care of this. Because if we follow through the rest of this story here, through the rest of this chapter, we'll find what's going to take place. You know, she said, "You know, how much are you going to pay me?" And he says, "Well, I'll pay you a kid from the flock." And she agreed that was fine. But you don't have it with you, and I don't trust you. So what do you have that you can give me as collateral until you pay your debt? Well, she said, he said, "I don't really have anything. What do I have?" And she saw all this jewelry and the staff and everything that was in his hand, and said, "That would be fine. That'll will you give me that?" So what he did then was handed unto this Tamar all these things for her to hold. And so she arose after this had taken place. She arose and went away and laid by her veil from her. She'd taken the veil off that kind of showed that she was a prostitute, and she put on the garments of her widowhood. And so she had snuck out. Nobody knew her, including Judah. It must have been in the at night that he had no idea who she was. And so you see the crime and everything that's going on here, not only her fault, but his sin that's committed here. Look at what's going on here as Judah continues to go down, down, and down. And it doesn't get any better, because as he has given this these things to her to hold as collateral, why, she went home and put on her widowhood again. Well, Judah sent. He was a man of his word, even though he had committed this crime here. Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. He looked everywhere because he was looking for a prostitute. He was looking for a prostitute in on the way, you know, as where we're at Timnath up here, which is by the way to Timnath. Timnath. And so as we found this area and this good friend, and this good friend was Hira, as he took this and delivered it, but he couldn't find her. Then he asked the men of the place, saying, "Where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside?" You know, right there. And he says, "We don't have a harlot in this place. There isn't one. You see, she just kind of arrived just in time for Judah to come by." Knowing the condition, knowing that he was mourning and everything, what a perfect opportunity. So that's what he did. He just kind of stepped right into the place there, not giving a thought who she was or anything else. And it's a sad day in Judah's life. It's a sad day in Tamar's life, too. And so as we continue here, why, they say, the men of the area said, "There is no harlot here." So he returned to Judah. He returned back to Judah and said, "I cannot find her." And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. "I can't find her." Well, Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I send this kid, and thou hast not found her. And so they decided, I think, to just wait, because the more of a big deal we make of this, the more I'm going to look bad. So you did all you could do, and you can't find her, so that's okay. Well, then it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, "Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom." And Judah said, "Bring her forth, and let her be burnt." You see, that's what happens when someone would do this. And so that was the judgment. And so it was very clear that she's pregnant. I mean, she is with child, Tamar is. And so how can this be? Because she was playing the role of a widow. She had lost two husbands. She was promised another one. And yet she wasn't supposed to be out and about at all. And all of a sudden here, she's with child. And so she is brought before Judah, because Judah said, you know, "Bring her, we're going to burn her, because I can't believe she has done such a thing." And when she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, you see, so when it came that she was to come, instead of that, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, "By the man whose these are, I am with child." And she said, "Discerning, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet, the bracelets, and the staff?" Well, whose are they? We know whose they are. They're Judah's. That's whose. So did Tamar. Tamar knew exactly who they were. Judah, he didn't know. He was deceived by her. But if he had not went in unto her and had this had never happened. And so the purpose of Tamar keeping and holding and hiding back again, not taking the payment that she had agreed on, was that the day would come when she could expose Judah for what he had done. And she is doing just that here. And so we find Judah acknowledged them and said, look at what he said, "She hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah my son, and he knew her again no more." So he never went once any more times in to her, and he acknowledged what he had done, and he acknowledged the sin that he had committed even prior to that by not giving her Shelah. And so all this is coming out and being it's being exposed now of what had taken place, what Tamar had done, what Judah had done, the situation, everything is now coming unraveled. And so everything is being brought out in the open and exposed. And so we're finding everything out here. And then in verse 27, "And it came to pass in the time of her travail, that behold, twins were in her womb." Twins. Two. "Came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that behold, his brother came out. And she says, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. And afterwards came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Phares. Now as we look at this these names, this is a breach. Phares is what that means, and as we look at Zara, the next one is that is east or brightness is Zara. Phares and Zara are the two children that are born to Judah by Tamar through this what has happened here. And so this scarlet thread, this midwife puts this scarlet thread on, and the first one that comes out, it was Zara. But when the went back in, and then came out Phares, and then Zara was born. And so we look at these verses of Scripture, we look at these names, we look at these two twin boys now that have been born. We've had two sons that have died, Er and Onan. Those two have died, and we still have the one is still alive, and that's in Shelah at this point in time. But then we also have added two to the family with these twins by Tamar. And so, as I said when we started here, I want to look at a couple of verses of Scripture in Matthew to see if we can make any connection with these names. Now, if we look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, we have in the generations of Jesus Christ, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We come down to the third verse, and Judah begat Phares and Zara. Now, both of those are of this line. It's just what we've read here in the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, look to the 16th verse of chapter 1, verse 16, chapter 1, because I want to make the connection for you. "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Through their line, through Judah's line and through the line that we have just discussed with these boys, this line is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that something as we look through the begats and the sons and everything as we enjoy the study of the Scripture? And it says, and Phares begat Isram, and Isram begat Aram, and it continues down through. And so if you'll notice that it is the birth of these boys is where we come through and hold to the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope that you enjoy and see, even when we look at the sin and the corruption, and yet we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is born through this family, the family of Judah, not only from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but now we have come one step further and brought him through the tribe of Judah, the family of Judah, the son of Judah. And as we looked at this, we see the corruption and the sin that is involved here. And yet we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was born through Mary, not through the seed of a man, but through the Holy Spirit, fathered this child. Mary brought the Lord Jesus into this world as a child, but was not conceived by man. And so we have the Lord Jesus even coming into this sinful world, being born as he is through this sinful family, and yet he is perfect. And it's a joy to look and to study the Word of God. Now, as we have looked at the remaining part of chapter 38, we need to just take a few minutes, and we're going to read just a couple of verses of Scripture to kind of catch us back up again and prepare us for the next time, because we just have a couple of minutes left. As we look at the 36th verse of chapter 37, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Now we have that in chapter 37, verse 36. Remember what happened to Joseph. Joseph gotten placed into the pit, and then he was taken out of that pit and sold. His coat was taken back home, covered with blood, torn, and said, "This is all we found." And so they came to the assumption that Joseph was dead, because the coat was torn, the coat had blood on it. And from that time on, we know that Jacob rent his clothes and sat and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And he even says, "I will mourn to my grave." And thus his father wept for him. We find that he was sold into slavery. The Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar. Now, if we looked at chapter 39, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. We jumped over Judah now. Judah was in the 38th chapter. Now we're at chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, that's as far as we're going to read. I just kind of wanted to wet your whistle so that you'd be ready to come back next time, because we're going to begin here with Joseph as we look at the text the next time. Isn't it something here how that I have read that Joseph was captured, he was placed in this pit, he was sold as a slave, he was brought into Egypt as a slave, and yet what did I just read? The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master of the Egyptian. You see, when God has a plan, Joseph followed after the will of God. And you think, boy, if that's falling after the will of God, I'm not sure that's what I want to do. Well, you look how God uses, is able to use Joseph, because Joseph was faithful. And Joseph focused his eyes upon the Lord and his will and his way, contrary to his brothers. The only other brother that was of like thinking, and that was Benjamin. And so we're going to really enjoy this study with Joseph. I want to just bring that to light before we ended today. And you know, it's a wonderful day to come into the house of God. We need to know to hear the Word of God, and it's always a great day to come into the house of God. I hope that you have learned today of the Word of God. I hope that you know that you can be saved, and saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, if you'll just come to Him today. Please call upon Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?